continued to follow the news on CJOB with Richard Kluge and Julie Buckingham.
Place on Ness here in Winnipeg, owned by Extendicare. And as we dig deeper into the story, we're going to examine various angles that come out of that story. For example, whistleblowers. There were two whistleblowers that came forward on that story to make this ultimately public and to get the investigation, to get down to the details and to hold people accountable. And we're continuing to endeavor to find more information and give you the information you need. Here in Manitoba, you can go to a government website. It's the Protection for Persons in Care website. There's a lot of information there. But ultimately, can you get the information you need if your loved one is going into a personal care home? A reminder, and this is Global's Rosanna Hempel, on the background of Extendicare, because this story has come up before.
Extendicare was dealing with another criminal investigation less than 4 years ago. One of its healthcare aides, Kevin Noakes, was arrested in March of 2019 in connection with a sexual assault of a woman in his care, a man who is now serving a multi-year sentence. At the time, Extendicare said it screened staff thoroughly and that it had removed the man from work right away. Fast forward a year and a half later to November of 2020, an Extendicare facility in Saskatchewan declared a COVID-19 outbreak that would become the province's deadliest personal care home outbreak during the pandemic. It prompted an investigation by Saskatchewan's then Ombudsman Mary McFadden with scathing results.
These residents were supposed to be properly cared for, treated with respect and dignity, and kept safe.
And they were not. And then the government moved in and took over. Now, because you have an operator and an instance here where there's bad actors does not mean the whole system is tainted. Often people will hear these stories and make blanket statements. No, this is hopefully an isolated case. But I do think it goes to culture of companies. And so we begin with Laura Tamblyn-Watts, CanAge president. This is a national seniors advocacy group. She spoke with our Global News colleague, Brittany Greenslade, earlier today, and now Ms. Watts joins us live. Good to have you with us. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
When I go to that website, lots of information there, the Protection for Persons in Care, and we have to say that this is provincial jurisdiction, so there are these types across the country depending on where you live. Can I quickly go to these websites and key in a personal care home provider and find out the information that Rosanna Hempel has told us about the background of an organization? I checked. You can't. Should we be able to?
Yes. And in other jurisdictions like Ontario or British Columbia, you would be able to. Manitoba has been stubborn in its lack of transparency of information on things like inspection reports, numbers of incidents or critical incidents in this case. You actually have to file a Freedom of Information request. It's ludicrous.
It's ludicrous. So you often don't get the traffic light until somebody dies in a collision. There's been all sorts of problems during the pandemic. Is there any evidence in your view that this government has gotten the message?
The Maple Court came out with a very specific set of recommendations, which the then health minister, now premier, committed to. And they've been working through a number of them. There has also been a recent announcement in Manitoba of $16 million to support staffing. Remember, staffing in personal care homes is down about 30% from where it needs to be, and it was short-staffed before. So I would say that there's little indicators. But in Manitoba, we have not taken seriously the importance of personal care homes, and we don't have the systems in place for family members to check in and find out the information they need, or really the level of public scrutiny to improve matters.
Laura Tamblyn Watts, the president of CanAge, is with us. Richard and Skylar with you on the news. Laura, I know it didn't take long for a lot of people, including opposition leader Wab Kanew, to bat around the call for a seniors advocate. Like you said in your first answer to Rich, it was, you know, those are one of the things that happen in other jurisdictions that doesn't in Manitoba. From your view, is there any reason why Manitoba doesn't have that in place already?
No, there's no reason except a lack of movement on this issue. Parties have been calling for this for more than a decade, and we've seen the success of a seniors advocate in other jurisdictions, like British Columbia, for instance, but also Newfoundland, Labrador, and New Brunswick, and others. We need to have a place where there's a critical eye, arm's length from government, which can really look at the key issues like personal care homes or even other forms of support for seniors and make the government move in those systemic areas for change. There's no reason we don't have it in Manitoba. It's just it hasn't been done.
Now, as we, I guess, wait for that action, hopefully, there are a lot of people out there who have a loved one in personal care, and they've heard these stories that we've been talking about for the last 2 days. And it, yes, hopefully it is an isolated incident, but that still doesn't mean there won't be any doubt cast in their mind. What could that person do to take that extra step and make sure that their loved one is okay in their home?
The first thing you want to do is pay attention to how they're acting and reacting. Of course, 80 to 90% of people in personal care homes in Manitoba have some form of cognitive impairment, like dementia. But that doesn't mean they're not expressing themselves, and it doesn't mean you can't read their cues. If a particular care worker comes by and they're pulling away from them or avoiding them, their eyes are down. If you see a change in mood, they used to be quite vivacious, and now they're very withdrawn or upset. Those are red flags that something's going on. Also, if you can, make sure that you're getting examinations. Look at their body as is appropriate. Don't dismiss things like bruising or broken blood vessels or sensitivity in areas. Those are all red flags of abuse, and we can tell the difference between bruises from abuse and regular fragility of an older person's skin. So really lean in and check in. If you've got concerns, call the director of care. If you can't get the help that you need there, you can always call the police.
Does the data at all show any differences between not-for-profit and for-profit personal care in this country?
This is a difficult question. I mean, we've seen different studies say different things. In the end, I think it's fair to say that for-profit homes have less good outcomes in certain areas, but that's not true across the board. We've got some not-for-profit homes that are not as well run and supported and some for-profit homes that are. What we know is that where personal care homes, no matter how they're funded, have the adequate staffing and support, modern facilities, and a culture of care, that's really what seems to make the difference.
If people want more information on your organization, where do they go?
CanAge.ca, that's CanAge.ca. It's free to join, no restrictions, and lots of great information about Manitoba and the rest of the country on how to take steps to protect yourself and your loved ones.
Laura Tamblyn Watts, CanAge president, a national seniors advocacy group, joining us here live on 680 CJOB.
The news on CJOB with Richard Cloutier and Julie Buckingham.